ओम हरि ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ओम। ओम श्री महागणपतये नमः। ओम यश्चंदसाम ऋषभो विश्वरूपः छंदोभ्योध्यमृतात् संबभूव समेन्द्रो मेधयास्तृणोतु अमृतस्य देवधारणो भूयासम् शरीरं मे विचर्षणम् जिह्वा मे मधुमत्तमा कर्णाभ्यां भूरिविश्रवम् ब्रह्मणः कोशोऽसि मेधया पिहितः श्रुतं मे गोपाय। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। ॐ मेधादेवी जुषमाणा न आगात् विश्वाची भद्रा सुमनस्यमाना त्वया जुष्टानुदमाना दुरुक्तान् बृहद्वदेम विदथे सुवीराः त्वया जुष्टऋषिर्भवति देवि त्वया ब्रह्माघृतश्रीरुतत्वया त्वया जुष्टश्चित्रं विन्दते वसुसानो जुषस्व द्रविणो न मेधे। मेधां महीन्द्रो दधातु मेधां देवी सरस्वती मेधां मे अश्विना उभावाधत्तां पुष्करस्रजा अप्सरासु चया मेधा गन्धर्वेषु चयन्मनः दैवी मेधा सरस्वती सामा मेधा सुरभिर्जुषताम् आमा मेधा सुरभिर्विश्वरूपा हिरण्यवर्णा जगती जगम्या ओजस्वती पयसा पिन्वमाना सामा मेधा सुप्रतीका जुषन्ताम् मयि मेधां मयि प्रजां मयि अग्निस्तेजो दधातु मयि मेधां मयि प्रजां मयीन्द्र इन्द्रियं दधातु मयि मेधां मयि प्रजां मयि सूर्यो भ्राजो दधातु। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। ॐ हंस हंसाय विद्महे परमहंसाय धीमहि तन्नो हंस प्रचोदयात्। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। ॐ सदाशिवसमारम्भाम् व्यासशङ्करमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्ताम् वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम् श्रुतिस्मृतिपुराणानाम् आलयम् करुणालयम् नमामि भगवत्पादशङ्करम् लोकशङ्करम् शङ्करम् शङ्कराचार्यम् केशवम् बादरायणम् सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वन्दे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः। ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। ॐ पूर्णमदः पूर्णमिदं पूर्णात् पूर्णमुदच्यते पूर्णस्य पूर्णमादाय पूर्णमेवावशिष्यते ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः हरि ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ओम
Yesterday we saw in Shankara Bhagavatpada's commentary how we can resolve everything into the reality. Because resolving everything into reality, thereby seeing everything as reality, resolving everything into Atma, thereby seeing everything as Atma, is the only way of resolving our the common human fundamental problem of sense of smallness, sense of inadequacy, sense of insecurity centered on I. That is how we can protect ourselves. There's no way of protecting ourselves other than correcting the error in our perception of the world, other than resolving the whole into Atma and seeing everything as Atma. In seeing everything as Atma, we resolve our individuality. I, the knower, is resolved in Atma. The known universe also is resolved in Atma. Thereby the knower known duality is resolved in Atma. The plurality is resolved in Atma. All the karakas are resolved in Atma. The agent, object of action, instrument of action, beneficiary of action, source of action, vocation of, locus of action. All the karakas will be resolved in Atma. Not only karakas, even the kriya, the action which is produced by these karakas will be resolved. All our actions will be resolved in Atma. Not only actions, even the results of actions. All the karma phalani, which have been there as sanchitam karma phalam, will be resolved. Prarabdha karma phalam will be resolved. Agami karma phalam also will be resolved in Atma. That's how even the all mobile immobile beings, their actions, the results of actions, the laws which govern the results of actions, everything, nama rupa karma khyam jagat, all forms, names and functions which constitute the universe, which exist within the realm of time and space, including time and space, will be resolved cognitively, intellectually in Atma. How? With the vision of the truth, the reality obtaining as one's own self. That is the only way of protecting ourselves. And protecting ourselves from this samsara, afflictions called the samsara, but resolving everything into Atma, well, the vision of the Atma is in fact Jnana Yoga, is in fact Vidvat Sanyasaha. It is cognitively resolving everything is Vidvat Sanyasaha. Resolving is renunciation here. We are not physically giving up everything, isn't it? But cognitively resolving everything is Vidvat Sanyasa. And so how to discover the truth? How to have the vision of the self? I must have the vision of this Atma. Atma Darshanam I need. What I need is vision of the reality. What that reality is, that reality is not available for objectification. Reality is not available for experience. Reality is not available for perception. Any perception is reality. Perceiver is reality. The perceived is reality. All experiences are reality. The experience of situations are reality. But reality is not available for objectification, perception, experience, because reality is not an object at all. Every object here is reality, but reality is not an object. Therefore, reality has to be discovered. Even though all that is there is only reality, essentially, everything you see is reality. All the forms you see are reality. The sounds you hear are essentially reality. The smells you smell are reality. The tastes are reality. The touch is reality. Everything is Satyam Brahma. Everything is Atma here. But still, you cannot see or hear or smell or taste or experience, objectify, perceive Atma. How can it discover? That is where Shastan tells us that reality of the whole is available as the reality, the truth of an individual, which is yourself. So whoever is asking this question, what the reality is, that person himself has to ask, who is this one who is questioning? Okay, that is how I said, it is in my Taittiriya Upanishad, it is very clearly said, Yo vedanihi tanguhayam parame vyoman. Guhayam nihitam, it is available for recognition only in the cave of intellect. You don't need to go to search anywhere else. But for you to know it is available for recognition in the cave of mind. Why it is a cave? Mind is right into a cave. It's very important to know. Even though it has nothing to do with this Upanishad, I have to tell you this. Varieties of thoughts constitute the antahkaranam, mind. And you negate all the emotions also in thoughts. You negate everything, not this, not this. And what is that which cannot be negated as an object of knowledge? You have to come arrive at it. Everything, even not only what is available externally, even what is in the mind, you have to negate everything as any object of knowledge has to be negated as non-self. Negate everything as non-self. What cannot be negated, non-negatable, is I the knower. What cannot be negated is I, the knower. Why? I am the knower with reference to this universe. Therefore, that I also, that is the, you can say, the I thought, the knowledge of the existence of self, obtaining in the realm of thought in terms of I am, no? I, the first and the foremost of the thoughts. Before that, there is no other thought. Any thought can exist only if there is knowledge of existence of yourself in terms of I am. That is why this I thought can be looked upon as a dead end of the mind. Not literally, I mean, you have to say, because before I thought, there is no other thought. You stop there. That is why it's likened to a cave. It's like a big cave and you're walking into the cave. Okay? Searching for treasure hunt. You go, and there dead end of the cave comes, where you hit, you stop. You can't go anymore. You have to stop there. It is like that. That's why mind is likened to a cave. You negate all the thoughts. What cannot be negated is what? I. Isn't it? You stop there. And there you ask, where does this I rise from? Where does this I exist? Where does this I resolve? I means what? I is the knower. I, the self, am the knower. So if you know who knower is, you have found out who I am. Who is this knower? The knower of the knowledge of existence of the self. The knower of the ignorance of the existence of self. That knower is always there. The knower doesn't come and go. That knower is Atma. That knower is Atma, knower is consciousness. This is how you arrive at it. And to arrive at it, you need what? To arrive at it, then repeatedly dwell upon it, to assimilate it, to have a clear, doubt-free, ascertained vision of the Atma. It doesn't happen overnight. Even though drip drishti veka prakriya, it is easy in one class. You negate everything, objects of knowledge as non-self, and you arrive at the knower as the subject of knowledge. As you can arrive at it easily, but afterwards, isn't it really for you to enjoy the benefit of knowledge, not to be afflicted by anything? In spite of the world being what it is, in spite of all situations, how to be unaffected, how to be free, for which to enjoy the benefit of the knowledge, you really need, isn't it, Shravanam, Mananam and Vidhyasanam. So Shravanam itself is not enough. Without Shravanam, Mananam is impossible. Without Shravanam, even Nididhyasanam will be impossible. Without Nididhyasanam, assimilation is impossible. Therefore, for assimilation, we must be able to dwell upon the clearly, doubtlessly understood fact. Aham, I am the whole. Aham Brahmasmi. I, the self, am the truth. To dwell upon that, you must have a contemplative, meditative disposition of the mind. You must be relatively mentally pure and steady. Otherwise, contemplation is not possible. And even to contemplate, you must know what should I contemplate on. You can't simply say, Aham Brahmasmi, Aham Brahmasmi, Aham Brahmasmi, Aham Brahmasmi. You can't simply say it to yourself. It must be a fact for you. It must be mechanically, if you say what is H2O, what is H2O, what is H2O. You must know what H2O means. Isn't it? Similarly, Aham Brahma Asmi, when you say, you must know what Brahma means. How I am Brahma. It must be, the contemplation is upon the fact which you already understood. Without understanding, contemplation will be meaningless. There's no contemplation possible. So, when you contemplate for which understanding must have happened already, that is why Shravanam is important. So, Shravanam is the first step. You listen and understand. And then you reflect upon what you have heard and confirm. No, resolve, have no, or if at all doubts are there, or see that doubts are resolved, then you are very clear with the vision of the fact. You have clear vision of the fact which does not contradict your reasoning at all. Not because somebody else is saying I am accepting, because I like this person very much, he is very sweet, very nice to accept. No, we are not accepting for anybody's sake, because there is no compromise. The understanding of the fact. I have understood the fact. It does not contradict my reasoning. It is true to my understanding. Then you can dwell upon it, assimilate it. Then that is how you enjoy the benefit of knowledge. Isn't it? Therefore, Shastram says here, then completely you are free from samsara. That's why yesterday we saw the word nikashanam. In fact, every class you come and listen is what? Slow rubbing. Nigarshanam only. Nigarshanam. Okay? Sorry. That's why we stopped yesterday. then what happens once after this Shravana Manana Nididhyasanam, I am the doer, I am an enjoyer, I am small, I am inadequate, I am unhappy, I am a mortal. All the wrong notions you entertain about yourself, entertain about the self, resolve. You don't need to push. How in the wake of the knowledge of the rope, snake disappears without being chased away. All these notions resolve without being pushed away. Once the wrong notions resolve, the fundamental problem is sorted out. I am inadequate, I am small, I am unhappy, I am insecure. These wrong notions resolve when in the wake of clear knowledge vision. This wrong notion caused problems which surface in the subconscious. Jealousy, hatred, anger, like strong likes and dislikes, fear, anxiety. I tell you, all of us are subconscious. Subconscious is there. And there's nobody, no human being here is sitting, with the mind. We all have minds, these minds which distinguish us from other beings, and we all have subconscious. In subconscious, we all have our abundance of storage. Okay? All of us have all these impurities. Raga, Dvesha, isn't it? Kama, Krodha, Lobha, Moha, Mada, Matsaryam. Kamaha means desire. Desire actually is one coin having likes and dislikes, two sides. Raga, Dveshas. Likes and dislikes, strong likes and dislikes. This is what I want. This I don't like. Very strong likes and dislikes. Nothing wrong in having them. They're very natural. So likes and dislikes, kama. Then krodha, anger. Lobha, greed, craving. Lobha, moha, delusion. Always we perceive things wrongly. I was walking and I saw Narayaniji. She didn't smile at me. She was busy, poor girl, preoccupied. And then I think, oh, she didn't smile at me, and I go. She didn't smile at me, she didn't smile at me. And I go and talk to other person. No, I was walking, she didn't smile at me. She very asked me to say something, she doesn't like with me. Like that, it's all our own projections, isn't it? Something created. These are, I'm just giving a small example, I don't want to take too much of time. What I'm saying, this is moha, delusion, lack of discriminative understanding of what is true. Even the day-to-day life, leave alone atma, anatma, viveka. Leave alone Satya Mitya Viveka. Leave alone, right and wrong Viveka. Even simple day-to-day life, always our own projections, isn't it? So, moha. Kama, krodha, lobha, moha, mada. Mada, pride. I'm correct. I'm right. Other person is always wrong. Like that, this is pride. Then, matsaryam, jealousy. When other person is appreciated in front of you, that triggers your smallness. Whenever your smallness is triggered, in presence of the appreciation of other person, some discomfort is there. That's called jealousy, envy, envy and hatred. I can add on again. So like this, all these said to be impurities, and all of us having enough. Okay, the proportion may vary from person to person, but they are all definitely there in subconscious. No doubt. Proportion may vary from person to person. But when do they surface? In the given situation comes, they are triggered. So you are helpless. Okay? You are helpless. We do not have any control over them. We do not have any say over them. We are not producing them, we are not creating them. They just surface. Well, not always. Always you are not angry, thank God. Always you are not upset. Always you are not jealous. Always is not. Always you are not angry. There is a time situation, some external situations becomes instrumental in triggering your emotion which surfaces. Okay? Then there is that emotion. Like this, these emotions are all there. When can any external situation trigger your emotions? When can it trigger? Only when you have this common human fundamental problem of sense of smallness, sense of inadequacy, sense of insecurity centered on I. These problems can be triggered. Now, in the wake of the knowledge of what you are essentially, how everything is Atma, then this, when your error in the perception of yourself is corrected, isn't it? The fundamental problem will resolve for good. Or the fundamental problem is resolved, the fundamental problem caused, okay, these emotions also will resolve. Then no external situation can trigger, because it will be resolved for good. Whatever the external situation, no situation, whoever is, whatever is, whatever is the situation, nothing can be instrumental in triggering my emotions. So no emotion can surface. You mean that's called freeing oneself from the hold of impurities. Freeing oneself from the hold of mind, which is freedom from, understand? Freedom, that is freedom. Then that is peace. All these impurities are resolved, then there is peace. When they rise, you are disturbed. It's called mental disturbance and mental peace. When the emotions are triggered, you are disturbed. When the emotions are resolved, you are in peace. But in sleep, you have temporary peace. Isn't it? And when you sing bhajans or you pray to Bhagavan and do something, if you are busy, occupied with something else, doing something, you forget, then you are peaceful. But whenever the situation comes, in any situation, the sense of smallness centered on I is triggered. When the fundamental problem is there, then naturally all these emotions come and you are disturbed. Understand? Now, what I want to say, how this Shravanam, repeated Shravanam, Manana Nididhyasanam, will help you resolve these emotions. So, this is what all these wrong notions resolve. Notion caused the emotion, no? Impurities resolve, then you have, you are peaceful. So, this is how, once you are free, Jeevan Mukti, freedom while living. Therefore, everything has to be resolved. I want to read the last sentence, very important sentence, underline. Namarupa karmakhyam vikara jatam paramart Satya Bhratyatma Bhavanaya Tyaktam Syat. How I can resolve everything. How I can negate everything. How I can see everything as Atma. No? Only with the clear vision of the Atma, I can resolve everything in Atma. Otherwise, there is no way of resolving duality, plurality, divisions and differences, and even the fundamental problem centered on I. Okay. I would like to do, I'll talk to Swamiji and get back to you. I would like to do one or two sessions, introductory classes apart from them before some time, so that to clarify these things. Okay. Now, evam Ishvaratma Bhavanaya Yuktasya Putradi Yeshanatraya Sanyasaha eva sanyase eva adhikarah na karmasu. So what Shankara Bodhpada says, evam in this manner, in which manner? In the manner said above, with the vision of Ishwaratma Bhasi, Paramartha Satyatma Bhavana. Paramartha Satyatma Bhavana means the clear, doubt-free, ascertained vision of the reality Atma. Okay, in the clear, ascertained, clear, ascertained, doubt-free vision of the absolute reality implied by the term Atma. This is the meaning of the sentence. Paramartha Satyatma Bhavana. Bhavana means what? Vision. With that vision, Nama Rupa Karmakyam Jagat Tyaktam Syat. Entire, the universe of forms, names and functions, including time and space, have to be negated as mithya. It's not there, really. What is only Atma. Everything comes and goes. And evam, in this manner, Ishwaratma Bhavanaya Yuktaha. Yuktaha means one who is endowed with this doubt-free, ascertained vision of Atma being the Ishvara, Ishvara being the Atma. Okay? One who is endowed with the vision of Ishvara in terms of Atma and obtaining as one's own self. Okay? Such a person is a jnani, wise person. Who is a jnani? If you ask the question of kaha jnani, jnani kaha, who is the jnani? The question comes, you have to give an answer with reference to Ishavasya Upanishad. Who is the jnani? How a wise person is defined? If you ask, this is the answer. Ishwaratma bhavanaya yuktaha. Ishwaratma bhavanaya yuktaha jnani. Yuktaha means one who is endowed with. The person who is endowed with what? Endowed with the clear, doubt-free, ascertained vision of the reality implied by the term Atma, obtaining as one's own self. He is Ishwaratma Bhavanaya Yuktaha. Such a person, once its clear vision is there, is it possible for him to have desire? Desires may be there only for the the wise person becomes the well-wisher of the whole, other people. So for the wellness, well-being, welfare of the world, he may be involved in activities and things like that. Loka Kalyanartham, he may be involved in other activities, but actually he will not be involved in activities for the sake of fulfilling his desires. Okay? So Shankara Bodhpada makes it very clear. For that person, naturally he becomes free from the hold of desires. And being free from the hold of the desire, naturally becoming free from the hold of desires, is called what? Yeshana Traya Sanyasaha. And he is free from the hold of desire for what? Putra Yeshana. Yeshana means Icha. Putra Yeshana, desire for progeny. Very strong desire. Very strong desire. Not easy yoke. Especially in India and all. You know? Having progeny is very important to maintain for the perpetuity. Of course, even marriage itself is in India, that is the purpose. The marriage is for having progeny for the perpetuation of dharma. Not simply for just of course emotional companionship also is involved. Marriage is for emotional companionship, but mainly for the progeny, for the perpetuation of dharma. Okay, so it's not easy to overcome the desire for progeny. But wise person naturally grows out of desire for having progeny. Putra Yeshana, he becomes free from the hold of desire for progeny. Vitta Yeshana, Yeshana Traya means Vitta Yeshana, desire for wealth. Desire from all forms of wealth. Then Loka Yeshana, desire for even the enjoyment of pleasures in higher worlds. Loka Yeshana, desire for higher worlds. So this person becomes free from Putra Yeshana, Vitta Yeshana, Loka Yeshana. Become free from the hold of diseases. How does he become free from the hold of diseases? How does he become free? Because he does not give up diseases. In fact, we've been repeating this, we can never give up diseases. Even a wise person does not give up diseases. He does not destroy diseases. We can undo diseases. Then what happens? Diseases go away from him. Diseases leave him and go away. When do the desires go away? When the need is not there, desire is not possible. Desire always presupposes need. I tell you, there is a natural emotional need. We have natural biological urges like hunger, thirst. There are natural biological urges. What we should do? Do you have any say over your hunger? You have to eat. You have to drink. It's a natural urge. It is not a cultivated desire. Isn't it? Suppose if you have cultivated desire. Oh, very nice. Very nice camera this is. This is not that great camera. After seeing this camera, I develop a desire. It's called cultivated desire. We should buy something like that. Other camera, not this is not a good camera. This is called what? After seeing that, the desire comes. Until I saw, I was ignorant of a camera. So that there was no desire. So desire which comes, isn't it? After coming to know something, it's called cultivated desire. If I don't fulfill this desire, am I going to die? No. Very nice, but I can't afford to buy it. Understand? So I can ignore my desire. I can fulfill my desire. But non-fulfillment of desire is not going to do any harm to me. Such a desire is called cultivated desire. Isn't it? Whereas I want to eat. I want to drink. Is it a cultivated desire? No. It's a natural biological urge. So natural means what? It has to be addressed. See, the camera I can survive without buying it. It's not a must I should buy. Whereas I want to eat means the natural urge I must eat. No choice. Is it clear? I'm thirsty. It is not a cultivated desire. It's a natural urge. So I have to fulfill it. I have to find some water to drink to quench my thirst. Like that, I want to live long happily. I want to be happy. I want to be happy always. I want to be happy with everywhere. I want to be happy with everybody. It's called being happy always, everywhere, with everybody is happiness. It's the definition of happiness. What is happiness? Being happy always, being happy everywhere, being happy with everybody is equal to happiness. Okay? And I want to be happy always, everywhere, with everybody. I want to be limitlessly happy. This desire for happiness is natural emotional urge. Just as, okay, how hunger and thirst are natural biological urges, I want to be happy always, everywhere, with everybody is a natural emotional urge. It has to be fulfilled. I want you to understand your choicelessness. You have no choice. It's natural urge. And this urge, this alone results in what? All forms of disease. Isn't it? So that for the wise person, what I want to say, wise person, no desire can be triggered. He is naturally free from the hold of disease. He is free from the hold of even this disease. Why? Because there is no need for him anymore. There is no emotional need, is not there. The need is resolved. Understand emotional need? I want to be happy always, everywhere, with everybody. That desire, that need, emotional need, is not there. The emotional urge is not there. Why? Because he has discovered happiness. Has discovered happiness. Wise person becomes free from this emotional urge. Is no more, the emotional urge is not there, because he's discovered happiness as fullness and very nature of reality, obtaining as one's own self, as one's own sarupam. Aham anandaha. I heard you singing with an anandoham, anandoham, anandoham. I heard you singing. Anandaha aham. Anandaha aham means what? Aham anandaha. I, the self, am of the nature of fullness. I am happiness myself. It's like wave saying, I, the wave, am H2O. Like say, I am of the nature of fullness. For you, you must have seen that what you are, isn't it? The I sense must have been shifted and dragged from body, mind, sense, complex, grossest matter to the consciousness, Atma. And from the standpoint of the Atma, the consciousness, you can say, I, the self, am of happiness. I am fullness. I am of the nature of fullness. So wise person is the one who has this clear vision of the self being happiness, fullness. How can happiness have desire for happiness? Isn't it? Therefore, the wise person is free from the emotional urge. He has resolved his emotional urge. How? By the clear vision. Therefore, when the urge is not there, okay, the fundamental desire of wanting to be happy always, everywhere, with everybody is resolved. Therefore, all the diseases become resolved. Naturally, isn't it? Therefore, it is said, for him, it is very relevant, really relevant for a wise person, very natural for a wise person to become free from the hold of desire for progeny or wealth or for anything. Even for the what heavenly pleasure, what Trambas does, what Urulis does. Everything is temporary experiential pleasure. And he is reveling in the vision of permanent happiness, which is his own Surupa. Wise person has this greatest luxury of reveling in the vision of his Surupa being fullness, happiness. So, that's what I'm saying. When he is reveling in the vision of fullness, how can he crave for any fraction? Suppose somebody comes and tells you, I'll give you the whole of Bahama to you. Bhagavan comes and tells you. And then is it meaningful to ask, no, I want that one room in ashram. A whole Bahamas is given to you. And will you ask for one room in Bahamas and ashram? Because one room in ashram is what? A fraction of Bahamas the whole. Understand? So wise person, why does wise person become free from the hold of desires? It's natural. Because when he is reveling in the vision of fullness, there is no need for him to crave for fraction of fullness, which is pleasure. It's okay. effort. That is why you don't need to drive away your disease. If you discover the truth, in the wake of the discovery of the truth, all your natural disease will resolve. You do not push the disease away, disease will leave you and go away. That is why the disease can never be resolved unless and until you revel in the vision of yourself being fullness. See here? This is what it is said here. Evam Ishwaratma Bhavanaya Yuktasya. Only for the choice person, Putradi Eshanatre Sanyase Yeva Adhikaraha, it is relevant for him to be renunciate. Okay? Relevant for him to be renunciate means what? Renouncing all these naturally, becoming free from the disease. Na karmasu. Afterwards, it is involvement in performance of rituals has no relevance for a wise person. Okay, involvement in performance of rituals has no relevance for a wise person. Why? Any ritual, I'm not saying performing ritual is useless or meaningless, but is not relevant for a wise person. There is no need for him to perform any rituals. Why? Any ritual is a karma, time-bound action, and it will produce a time-bound result. It can be artha or kama or dharma, or it can be any artha, kama, dharma, whether heavenly pleasures or worldly pleasures. It's all time-bound results. Rituals can produce only time-bound results. Any result is time-bound. There is no such a thing called timeless, everlasting result of an action. No action result of any action is timeless. Action, any ritual, any form of activity is time-bound in nature. Therefore, result of action also is time-bound in nature. Okay, a wise person, there is no need for him to crave for time-bound result when he is enjoying, reveling in the vision of timeless reality, which is of the nature of timelessness. Is it clear? Because a desire for a time-bound pleasures, time-bound results must be there. Only then any ritual can be done, any action can be performed. For a wise person, all his whole life has served its purpose. All his activities he would have been doing have served their purpose. So there's no relevance. It is not necessary there's no relevance, there's no need for a wise person to involve himself in performing any rituals. Therefore, it is said here, Sanyase eva adhikaraha. It is relevant for him to be renunciate, rest, give up all activities. Na karmasu. There is no need for him, there is no relevance for him to involve himself in any, performing any rituals. Is it clear? Okay. So we go. Tena tyaktena. Tyaktena tyagena ityartha. Tyagena ityartha. See, tyakta is a past passive participle. It is not appropriate use here. So Shankara Bhagavatpada will not give correct meaning. So he gives the actual meaning tyagena. Tyagaha means renunciation. Isn't it? What is renunciation? Physically giving up something is not renunciation. Here tyagaha is resolving cognitively the everything here, anatma prapanchaha, with a clear doubt-free vision of atma, is vidvat sannyasaha, renunciation through knowledge. What is renunciation here? Kaha sannyasaha. The question, next question comes. What is sannyasaha? No? With reference to Ishavasya Upanishad. Of course, there is reference to any opal, it is the same meaning. But because here Bhagavad Pada gives a clean definition. What is sannyasaha? Isn't it? Cognitively, intellectually resolving the entire cause, objective universe, including one's body, mind, sense complex, with a clear, doubt-free vision of the reality, Atma is Vidvat Sannyasaha, renunciation through knowledge. Okay? For such a person who is reveling in the vision of fullness, who has the greatest luxury of reveling in the vision of fullness, there is no relevance for him to do any ritual which produces time-bound results. There is no relevance for him, there is no need for him to crave for something. He has accomplished the absolute. Okay. Therefore, tena tyaktena means tyagena through renunciation. Okay, through renunciation here. By renunciation through knowledge. Okay, next. Bhunjitaha. That is the meaning. So, one has to protect oneself by renunciation through knowledge. Okay, one has to protect oneself by renunciation through knowledge. Tena means tena sannyase. Tena tyaktena, tena tyagena. With that, by the renunciation through knowledge, bhunjitaha, may you protect yourself. Otherwise, there is no way of protecting yourself other than reveling in the vision of the truth. Okay. Now he is explaining why the word tyaktaha should be taken as tyagaha. Why the word tyaktaha should be taken as tyagaha? That is given me. Shankar Bhagavad Pada says, nahi tyakto vritaha putrova bhrityova atma sambandhitaya abhavat atmanam palayati ataha tyagena iti ayameva vedarthaha. So here the meaning of the word in this sentence, what is said is why the word tyaktena should be taken as tyagena. Tyakta means given up. It's a past passive participle. It is not possible for one to protect oneself with something which has been already given up. So it must be taken as through giving. Next day, by giving up, by renunciation. Renunciation, which is attained through knowledge, naturally, one has to protect oneself. That is the meaning. So, the example he says, suppose putraha son, bhrityaha servant, a son or a servant, somebody. Suppose who is no more, who is dead. Will this person can expect any help from the son who is no more? Is it possible? The son who is no more, who is dead, from him, the father cannot expect any help. Similarly, the servant who was serving before, now who is no more with him, who is dead, can he expect any help from him? No. So just as the dead person who was before, who was very helpful, who was very supportive, is no more, has no use anymore after when he is not there. Okay? Similarly, tektam means what has been the past tense verb. Tektam, given up. That meaning does not relevant here, not appropriate here, because one cannot protect oneself by something which has been given up before. So what he says, it should be taken in the present tense sense, tyagena, means by renunciation. And what renunciation? Not physical renunciation, it is renunciation born through knowledge, attained through knowledge. What is renunciation through knowledge? Again, being endowed with the clear vision of the Atma, thereby seeing everything as Atma, isn't it? And cognitively seeing the fact of where is the universe, where is anything other than Atma here. It's saying, where is the ocean other than water? It's a fact, isn't it? Where is the ocean other than water? Where is Jagat other than Atma? This is a fact. Being endowed with this vision is what? Renunciation through knowledge. Okay? That is what is meant by the word Tyagaha. So, Tyakta should be taken as Tyaga. Then understand, Tyagena means Sanyasena. By renunciation through knowledge. Isn't it? Okay, next. Bhunjithaha. We are going word by word. Are you all with me?
Yes.
Do you see that? Okay. Palayethaha. See, bhunjithaha is the word in the text. Palayethaha is the meaning given by Shankara Bhagavatpada. So, bhunjithaha, palayethaha means may you protect yourself. Upanishad is warning all of us. Come on, be careful. If you want to be protected, seek protection only in Jnanam. Absolute protection is possible only in knowledge. Protection, there is no protection other than knowledge. Nothing can protect you from fear of death. Nothing can protect you from free you from emotional dependence. As long as you are emotionally dependent on the world and situations and people and other things, their possessions and positions, you are bound, you are unprotected. You can't help being subject to afflict, suffering. So, bhunjithaha, may you protect yourself. Through renunciation, protect yourself by renunciation through knowledge, for which you must have the knowledge. In fact, Upanishad says, become wise, otherwise you will suffer. Okay, this is the teaching. Now, this bhunjithaha, this is for the sake of Sanskrit students. It is derived from the root bhuj. This root bhuj is actually seventh conjugation root. And it is ubhayapadi dhatu. This root takes both atmanepada affix as well as parasmepada affix. So we get these words bhunakti. And in bhunte atmanepadam, bhunakti parasmepadam, bhunakti parasmepadam, bhunte atmanepadam. Here, bhunakti actually means protects. Bhunte actually means eats, enjoys. But here, bhunjithaha is actually atmanepadam is used. In second person singular, second person is what? Bhunjithaha. Bhunte eats. Bhunjithaha, may you eat. But we should take the meaning of parasmaipadam. Okay? Not eat here. Bhunjithaha does not mean may you eat. We should take in the sense of what? May you protect yourself. Is it clear? Even though it is atmanepadam, even though it is second person atmanepadam, still detect the meaning of Parasmaipada. Upanishad gives meaning of Parasmaipada. So Shankar Bhagavatpada says, Bhunjithaha means Palayethaha, another Sanskrit word. May you protect yourself by renunciation through knowledge. So Vidvat Sanyasena Palayethaha, protect yourself. Okay. Next. Evam.
Evam.
Tyaktaishanastvam. Magridha. Gridhim. Akangsham. Makashihi. Dhanavishayam. So evam tyaktaishanaha. Evam tyaktaishanaha means the one who is the one has renounced. I told you already, renunciation is not physically giving up. One who has renounced through knowledge. Isn't it? One who has renounced through knowledge is tyaktaishanaha. And one who is free from the hold of desire for these threefold things. Isn't it? One is free from the hold of desire for disease, threefold disease, putraishana, vittraishana, lokaishana. Such a person, no, he says, magridha, may you not crave or desire or covet wealth. Is it? May I desire, say, gridhi means akanksha. Shankara Bhagavatpada's word is what? Akanksha. Gridhi is a Upanishadic word. Akanksha is the word used in the commentary. So may you not have any desire for wealth. Desire pertaining to wealth. Kasya sviddhanam. Kasya chit. Parasya swasyava dhanam ma akanshihi. See, ma akanshihi. You have to put one other. Ma akanshihi. Akanshihi. So that may you not have any craving for the wealth which is your own or others. And my wealth, I can have desire for my wealth, but your wealth and others' wealth, isn't it? So may you not have desire for swasyava, parasyava, isn't it? Whether your own or somebody else's wealth, may you not have any craving for wealth which is yours or others. So here, kasya swit is there, isn't it? And here the meaning is given, swid iti, you know, swid iti, anarthakaha, nipataha. The swid actually is a nipataha. Nipataha means sometimes some expressions are used which do not convey any meaning. Swid is simply added to adjust the meter or something. Doesn't have any meaning. So you forget about swid. When you're chanting, don't leave swid, okay? Chanting, you chant the swid. For the meaning, you leave the swid. Swid, there's no anarthakaha means meaningless. Sarthakaha means what? Meaningful. Sarthakaha, meaningful. One of the students from Germany, his name is Sarthakaha. Okay? Meaningful. Sarthakaha means meaningful. Anarthakaha, meaningless. Okay? So the person of meaningful life is Sarthakaha. Okay, name somebody. But here, Anarthakaha means what? Meaningless. What is meaningless? Swid. Why? It is Nipataha. It is simply added. Forget about it. Don't worry about it. What is important now? Parasya va, swasya va, dhanam, kasya swiddhanam, kasya dhanam, Swasyava parasyava dhanam ma akanshihi. May you not crave for desire for wealth, whether it is yours or somebody else's. May one not have desire for wealth one's own or somebody else's. Swasyava parasyava. Read the whole sentence. It is this sentence. Shankara Bhagavatpada gives two meanings. There are two meanings for this. We take the whole sentence. Ma grida kasya sridhanam. We take the whole sentence. So may you not have any craving, desire for wealth, whether it is yours or somebody else's. That's one meaning. Another meaning is, you have to break this sentence. Ma gridaha. May you not desire, may you not have any desire, may not have any craving. Kasya sridhanam is a question. Kasya sridhanam, whose wealth is here? This is not actually a question. It's called natu prashnarthe prashnaha. This is not actually a question. Akshepaarthe prashnaha. The question raised, presented as an objection. You're not really asking the question, whose wealth is here? If you ask you whose phone is this, you will say mine. But it's not that I'm not asking whose phone is here. The question is not here as whose wealth is here. Whose wealth is here? Who owns the wealth here? It is a question asked as an objection. Akshepaarthe prashnaha. Whose wealth is here? Where is the owner? Where is the possessor of the wealth? Where is the possession? Wealth possessed. Everything is Atma. Absolutely. It is possessor, possessed, owner, owned relationship itself is mithya. It is, mithya means what? It is not unreal. It is relatively, empirically, objectively real. Absolutely, there is no possessor, there is no possessed. Is it clear? Therefore, everything is Atma. If you see everything from the standpoint, please listen to me. If you see everything from the standpoint of water, is there a wave and wave-ocean difference? The standpoint of water, you already saw the wave. Order is all the ocean. Wave ocean difference is not there. Isn't it? Therefore, similarly, the standpoint of Atma, the consciousness, the pure awareness, where is I? Where is the world? Where is the possessor? Where is the possessed? Where is the owner? Where is the owned? There is no owner without the Atma, other than the Atma. There is no owned, possessed other than the Atma. There is no possession other than the Atma. The possessor, possessed, possession, everything is essentially Atma. Okay? Therefore, for the person who has a clear vision of Atma, whose wealth is here? Whose wealth is here? Who is the possessor of the wealth? Where is anybody's possession here? Everything belongs to Atma. The Shankara Bhagavatpada gives beautifully. See the next page. Everything is Atma. That is what is said in this version. So first we saw the one meaning. Next meaning he says, Athava. Say now. Athava, I mean otherwise, the meaning should be taken in this manner. Athava means what? Otherwise. If that meaning is not taken, this meaning also is there. Ma gridaha, ma gridaha. May you not covet, may you not desire, crave. Why? Kasmat. Why should I not crave? And then the question comes. Kasya sviddhanam iti akshepartha. Akshepartha means it's a question raised as an objection. na kasyachid, na kasyachid,
na kasyachid,
dhanam asti,
dhanam asti,
yat vidhyeta. There's nobody else's wealth here which can be coveted, which can be possessed, which can be craved for, which can be desired for. And nobody else's wealth is here. Why? The reason Shankara gives. See next sentence, important sentence again. Atmai Vedam Sarvamiti.
Atmai Vedam Sarvamiti.
You can break it. Atmayeva.
Atmayeva.
Idam sarvam.
Idam sarvam.
See, for anybody who wants to contemplate, these are the important words we should remember. Atmayeva idam sarvam.
Atmayeva
idam sarvam. Iti.
Ishvara bhavanaya.
Sarvam tyaktam.
Sarvam tyaktam.
Already it has been resolved cognitively. Sarvam tyaktam. Everything has been renounced. Everything has been given up. Giving up means what? Not physically giving up. Cognitively, intellectually, everything has been negated already as Nitya. Everything has been resolved in its source, the truth. Isn't it? So, Sarvam, Katam Tektam, how has it been renunciated? How has been renounced? How has it been renounced? How has it been given up? How has it been resolved? Okay? He said, Ishvara Bhavanaya. Ishvara Bhavanaya means what? Ishvara Bhavanaya. With the clear vision of Ishvara. Who is Ishvara here? The Lord obtaining in the form of the reality. Implied by the term Atma. Is it clear? Ishvara Bhavanaya, only with the vision of the truth. Without vision of the truth, we cannot do anything. So, Bhagavan's vision of the truth is important. Vision of the truth means what? Knowledge of the truth. Ishvara Bhavanaya. So, with the vision of the truth, how do you see? Atma Eva Idam Sarvam. All that is here is only Atma. Atma Eva. Eva means what? Eva is an indeclinable word used to emphasize. Suppose we say juice. What will you say? Na juice. You will say water. Is it water? Water. Eva. Understand? Water. Eva. Suppose you say tumbler. You say jar. You say what? Na jar. Is it tumbler? Is it tumbler? You won't say, yes, it is tumbler. No. It is tumbler. Is what is implied, no? That is what is meant by its expression, eva. Eva is an indeclinable word which is used to emphasize. Then to make an expression emphatic, eva is used. Okay? So here, Atma eva. Atma eva idam sarvam means what? Idam sarvam. See, repeatedly listening to this one sentence, you will pick up Sanskrit. Idam sarvam atma eva. This entire objective universe, including your body, mind and complex, is only Atma. Is nothing, it is not Atma here. Isn't it? Ayam sarvaha samudraha jalameva. This entire ocean is water only. This entire object universe is Atma only. Iti Ishvara Bhavanaya. This is called Ishvara Bhavana. Okay? Having the vision of Ishvara, the Atma, in the universe. Now there's no more universe darshanam, only Ishvara darshanam. When you go to the ocean, all these days you would have having what? You would have been having Samudra darshanam. Now when you go to the ocean after the class, Jala darshanam. You have Jala bhavana. Before you had Samudra bhavana. Before you were seeing it as ocean. Now you see it as water. Before also you were right. Now you are more right. Before you were having Samudra bhavana. You were seeing it as ocean is Samudra bhavana. Seeing it as water. Now having the vision of water, they were not seeing the ocean, that is Jala bhavana. Water bhavana. Similarly, now Ishwaratma bhavanaya. Before you were seeing the Jagat, now you are seeing Ishvara. It's called perspective change. You shifted your perception from the form to the substantive, to the substance. Ocean form to the water. Now you shifted your vision, isn't it? From the world to Atma. Isn't it? Kad Ishvara Bhavanaya Sarvam Atma Eva Idam Iti Tyaktam. And he puts it step by step. Look at this. Atmanaha Eva Idam Sarvam. Atmanaha Eva Idam Sarvam. Everything belongs to Atma. First, how do you say? Everything belongs to Atma, you say first. Then what do you say? Sarvam. Sarvam Atma Eva. First you say everything belongs to Atma. Sarvam Atmanaha Eva. First you say. Then you say Sarvam Atma Eva. All the waves belong to the water. First you say. They are relatively correct. Then, no, there is no possessed connection between water and the wave. If there is a possessed connection, then it must be separable. Suppose if you say, no, this, all of you are having orange covered books. This book was given to me, this is mine. This book is mine, not yours. Don't take it is, okay? Yours is yellow colored book, okay? Yellow covered book. This is mine means what? I am the possessor of the book. Book is possessed by me and I can leave it here, forget and walk without it. I can go without book. The book possession can be separated from the possessor. Okay? Any possession can be separated from the possessor. The only then possessor possessed difference is possible. But can you separate the wave from the water? Even though initially we say all the waves belong to the water. Between water and the waves there is no possessor possessed connection because waves are inseparable from the water. Water is inseparable from the wave. If the water is separated, finished, waves will lose their existence. They won't be existent anymore. Therefore, similarly, the whole world was sarvam atmanaha eva. Shankara first says, the entire world, everything here belongs to Atma. Everything belongs to Atma is the first sentence. Sarvam Atmanaha Eva. Everything is Atma's. Then what is the next sentence? Sarvam Atma Eva. Everything is Atma. There is no belonging. Nothing belongs to Atma. Everything is Atma. Because between Atma and anything, there is no possessor-possessed connection. Everything is Atma. The knower is Atma. The known is Atma. Knowledge is Atma. Reduce the entire world into one thing. Okay? Reduce the entire world of objects. Bring it under the category of the known. Okay? The whole world can be the innumerable countless forms, names and functions, including time and space, which constitute the whole universe, can be reduced to one word, the known. The known. Is it clear? Known. So now the known is Atma. The knowledge is Atma. The knower is Atma. There is no Triputi Bheda. Knower, known, knowledge, difference, division is not there on the part of Atma. Okay? Therefore, Sarvam Atmaiva. Everything is Atma here. Sarvam Atmaiva. The Shankaracharya himself, in his commentary, he says this: Atmanaha Yeva Idam Sarvam Atma Yeva Sarvam. Therefore, what now? If at all you say there is something other than Atma is, that is Vidya. That is, if at all you say, no, I want to say there's a form. You know, just the water. The water plus form is wave. Water plus form is ocean. If at all you say that form is Vidya. Similarly, if at all you say anything other than Atma is here, that is only mithya, non-substantial form, name and function. Okay? Therefore, ma karshihi, gridhim ma karshihi, mithya vishayam gridhim ma karshihi. Therefore, may you not have any craving for this objective universe. Okay, mithya, which is mithya. Mithya vishayam gridhim ma karshihi. May your desire not be. Vishaya means, you asked me about vishaya already. Mithya vishaya gridhim means desire pertaining to mithya things. May not have desire for mithya things. Okay. With this, the commentary is over. First verse commentary is over. We have to some extent completed the first verse, not to my satisfaction, because there's so much I want to say. Anyway, let me tell you one more thing. A small example. Please listen to me carefully. Here is light. Okay? This room is filled with light. In the presence of light, all the opaque things shine here. Walls, windows, the curtains, people who are sitting here, the orange color, yellow color, white color, and all the forms, the board and the pictures and Swami's pictures, everything, all these opaque things shine because of the presence of the light. Light does not do any action. Just by its presence, everything shines. All the opaque things shine. Now, all the opaque things shine because all these opaque things are illumined. If there is no illumination, if there is no light illumination, opaque things will not shine. They would remain covered in darkness. The very fact opaque things shine, they are not covered, they shine, we can see them because they reflect light, there is illumination. Okay? Opaque things shine because they are illumined. they are illumined. Opaque things shine because they are illumined. Past participle. Illumined. They illumined because there is illumination. The illumination is because there is illuminator. You have heard three words now? There is opaque things shine because they are illumined. They are illumined because there is illumination. There is illumination because there is illuminator. Is it clear? Is there illuminator or not? There is. Is there illumination or not? Yes. The very proof illumination is because there is illuminator. And objects are illumined or not? Yes. Now I ask you the question, who is the illuminator? Light. When you say illuminator, there is no illuminator other than the light. There is no meaning for the word illuminator. Can you find a meaning for the word illuminator here? Is there somebody sitting here, illuminator? Who is illuminator here? Hey, there is no illuminator other than the light. Illuminator is only a temporary qualification, title attributed to the light. Illuminator is a name given to the light from the standpoint of the illumined opaque things. Is it clear? Who is the illuminator? Illuminator is light. Now, is there something called illumination other than the light? Without the light. Illumination is light. What about the illumined objects? The illumined are also light. No way. Illumined objects cannot become the illumined without the light. Okay? Illumined are also light. I'll come back and explain. What I want to say, everything is example from here. This is only example, don't stretch the example. I'll come back and tell you the knower, known, knowledge, everything is Atma. Therefore, everything is Atma means there's nothing which is anybody's possession here. The possessor himself is knocked off. Where is the possession? Om. Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavasishyate Om Shanti 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 Hari Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namah Hari Om.